And this group is an extension. This guy here, we'll get rid of this soon and get closer to stuff if you want. And there's some unipotent radical here, or pro-unipotent radical. This guy's pro-reductive. And there's a co-character here, which tells you, I'll just call it, GM, the multiplicative group. And you've got this guy here, and Levy's theorem tells you can lift up, you know, we know we can lift this guy, always lift up here, just sort of general nonsense tells you that. But we know something else. We know that if we look at H1 of U, and we look at the GM action on it, the characters of GM are just integers, and the only integers that occur here are negative. So this is negative weights only. And what this tells us is that you can use this character to split the weight filtration of every mixed hot structure all at once, and it's all completely compatible. And I don't have enough time to do examples. I'm going to do one simple example. But it allows you to split to solve combinatorial problems without doing any combinatorics, which I like. I'm very bad at combinatorics. But simultaneously for lots of independent things at the same time. And so let me do one example. So there's a theorem. There's John Morgan. And then I regrouped it, sort of slightly stronger one. But it says that if X is a complex algebraic variety, and X is in X, and I'm even going to allow this to be a tangential base point, which we'll get to later, let me put it like this, so the Lie algebra of pi 1 unipotent of XX has a natural mixed hot structure that's compatible with everything else on the planet. And so, okay, this is just some abstract theorem, so you say, why do I care? Well, the first thing is that, so this includes singular and non-compact, but let's go back to, let's take, for example, X to be, let's take this to be smooth projective. This immediately implies, so first of all, H1, let's give this Lie algebra a name and call it P. H1 of P will map to, this is basically some version of the Horowitz homomorphism. This guy is an isomorphism. This is H1 with rational coefficients. And now you think about what this Lie algebra should be. So this implies that, so this says that P maps onto H1 of X. And now, it's not, you can choose a splitting of this. This applies to any group, and you can show the image of that splitting would generate this guy. So that tells you that essentially H1 of X is the generators of this, but it's not canonical. You have to choose the lift. But what if I know this is a morphism? And what happens, so this is saying that, so what you can easily see from this is the weight minus n of P is equal to, of P. So the weight filtration is essentially the lower central series. You have to use negative indices. So P will be equal to W minus 1 of P, contains W minus 2, that's the commutator subalgebra, this is going to be PP, contains, and you can see this using the exactness of GRW. The bracket preserves weights. And so we know that P is going to be equal to the product. This is using our character that we're fixed. It's not canonical, but we can choose one. N greater than or equal to 1, GRW minus N of P. And so, but we have that GRW minus 1 of P is equal to H1 of X. And so what this is telling us is this is saying this is equal to the free Lie algebra on H1 of X completed modulo relations, which we don't know, but the relations have to be compatible with Hodge theory too. And if you have what we know, the relations are in fact generated. You can show these are generated by a map from, it's a map from H2 of X to lambda 2 H1 of X. This guy has weight minus 2. By the Hodge theorem I stated earlier, this has weight minus 2. This map actually goes into the Lie algebra, but it has to be a morphism of mixed Hodge structures, so it can only go in the quadratic thing. So this is the dual of the cup product, so it's just the standard co-product. And so this is saying this is quadratically presented. So I prove that the Lie algebra of the unipotent completion of any smooth projective variety is quadratically presented. And that's a theorem, that's the Lie Griffiths Morgan Sullivan theorem. Right? It just follows like that. I wrote this for a, so just to make it super clear, e.g., let's take X to be just the compact Riemann surface. You want to prove this for a compact Riemann surface, just put on a complex structure, and we're going to take a basis, A1, AG, B1, standard basis of homology, that's saying that in this case, P is the free Lie algebra generated by A1, BG, modulo, just the sum, AJ, bracket, BJ. The relations is the ideal generated by the image of delta. Right, because this is the degree part of two part of the Lie algebra. And so, and in here, the cup product, you're going, the dual of the cup product goes from H2 of X into H1, you know, lambda 2 of H1, it takes the fundamental class to sum A, J, wedge, B, J.
I can't quite well. So how do you know that they're all like high degree relations?
Sorry?
How do you know that the relations are all quadratic?
It's purity, because it's a general fact for any pronial potent Lie algebra. For any pronial potent Lie algebra. So, I put this in some papers, some people say you should take this out, and other ones I write something, they say you should put in more detail. But it goes like this, take any pronial potent Lie algebra, map it to its H1 of U, right? So that's always subjective. You can take each section. This gives you a subjective map from H1 of U completed onto U, right? So that's telling you, and that's a minimal set of generators. You can't take anything smaller, you've got to take something that's big. Now you look at the kernel, let's call that ideal R. The Lie algebra version of Hobbes' theorem says that H2 of U is, I'm going to call this Lie algebra F for free. It's R modulo R bracket F. Right, so it's all relations modulo consequences of relations. And that's H2. And right, and so there will be a map from R onto H2. You play the same game, choose any section, and that will be a minimal set of relations. By the way, this discussion I didn't put in the notes is very relevant for understanding. You know, we need to understand this in the elliptic case. And so you can show this section. As always, the quadratic terms in this thing of every relation is always dual to cup product. And so then what you get, let's call this map C, and so what you see is that the relations is the ideal generated by the image of C. And C takes, H2, it goes into the commutator subalgebra. And if you map down to, say, LCS2 mod LCS3, this is just equal to lambda 2 H1. This map here is the dual of the cup product, right? So if you have Hodge theory and you know what the weights are on H2, and if you know, the other thing is here, H2 of this Lie algebra will inject into H2 of x, but we know this is pure. So part of the package says this is a morphism, so this is a weight 2, and so that's forcing the relations to be quadratic. It's just magic, right? So this is how I do combinatorics. Sorry, I didn't, that wasn't prepared. But this is an example of the sort of thing you can do with this. And it... you know, you can, with mapping class groups, you can do a similar thing. It's much more complicated, but you can do it. So, all right, black for 3. Okay, I want to talk about completions of particles. So, I feel like I have to talk about path forces because I think that's something to do with associators. So, X here is just a topological space. And say X and Y are in X, you can take pi X, Y, X is just equal to homotopy classes.
Dual systems, you can take duals, and so on. So this is Tanakian.
got tensile products and so on. And fiber functors, here you start to see there can be many fiber functors. You can take the fiber at any x. So fiber functors, that you can take omega x, it takes this category, the unipotential systems on x, it takes it into vec q, and you take x goes to, v goes to the fiber of v at x. Or if you think of it as a locally constant sheaf, it's just the stalk. Okay, so so what is the unipotent completion of the path forcer? So pi xy unipotent x is just, you do the same thing, except instead of taking the automorphisms of the fiber functor, you take the tensor isomorphisms with omega x, omega y. Right, so this is how you take the unipotent completion of a path torsor. And so this is some affine scheme. And to put it in context, you'll have, it's a principal homogeneous space. Over, say, on the left, you can do it on the right, say, pi 1 unipotent of x, x. Right? So it's... Okay, so I just needed to make that definition. The next thing... Again,
Does it have a description as an inverse limit of the paths from x to y modulo some augmentation ideal-like thing?
Yeah, well, you can do it as a... one way to do it is you can take the... I think it was h0 of the path from x to y in x. And now pi 1 acts on this, and now you can take the nilpotent completion of any module just by modding out by powers of j.
Yeah.
And then this will be the continuous dual of that will be the ring of functions on this. I mean, I wouldn't get bogged down in this, but there is a similar sort of construction, yes. Again, I've decided to take this Tanaki intact because I can do lots of different things with it. So, all right, so the next thing I want to talk about is tangential base points. And they're necessary because a lot of this stuff, I think even when you're doing topology, but certainly a lot of this stuff has arithmetic origins, and you need these for arithmetic reasons. So let's take C to be a complex curve, if you like a Riemann surface, and X and Y will be in C, and let's take V to be a vector in the tangent space of X of C, and W to be a tangent vector in the tangent space of Y of C. So, this is x and this is v, and here is, say, w, and this will be y here.
And zero, and zero, right?
Ah, thank you. V, w, not equal to zero. And so now, you can think of paths from this tangent vector to that. You know, they're paths that do whatever they do, and a path from this V to that W is a path which leaves with this velocity vector, leaves X with this velocity vector, and arrives back here with minus W as its velocity vector. That may look wrong, but if you invert it, you want it to start off in this direction. And now, you also require at intermediate times, you can't pass through X or Y. Right? So this says that gamma dot 0 equals V, gamma dot 1 equals W, and gamma of t is contained in C minus XY for t 0 less than t less than 1.
Minus W or?
Thank you, minus W.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can take homotopy classes of those and you can define pi V W of, I'll call it C prime, let me just write C minus XY. And if you think this looks odd, you're already used to it. Because, so this is homotopy classes. I'm going to do this a slightly different way in a second. But the origin, for example, of associators, in my understanding, is if you look at P1, so C equals, let me just take C, and now I'll take X to be equal to 0, Y to be equal to 1, V to be equal to D, DX, W to be equal to minus D, DX, and then you're looking at paths like, paths like this, here is 0, here is 1, inside the Riemann sphere. These are, I guess, the topological avatars of associators. Alright, so, and I wrote here alternative, better, description. So, actually, I learned this from Edward Loyenhart. And I thought maybe he'd figure this out, but then I was looking at the Lin's 100 and something page paper on P1 minus 0 infinity. I noticed it's in there. So this is also in there. So let's define the real oriented blow up. So the real oriented blow up, and I want to use this approach, the real oriented blow up of, say, C at, say, X at some point. So same notation is here. What you do is you replace the point by all the oriented rays at that point. So I'll write B, L, X. I put hat for real blow up. I don't know why. C. So it's a surface with boundary. Let me just draw. We have this point here, and we want to blow up this point. I'm not going to worry about any other point, but I want to replace it with all oriented directions. Well, the set of orientations is a set of oriented lines here. It's just a circle that you replace. So we're going to replace X by the tangent space at X of C minus 0, so all the non-zero tangent vectors. We're going to mod out by R plus. And this guy here, it's a circle. Mm-hmm. So it's acted on by a circle. So when you do this, we blow up. Instead, we're going to get this guy here. And if I had a tangent vector here already, it determines a ray, so I get a point here. And I'll call this point, I'll call it V. So that's the ray that depends. And now another way to define the path course, so from X to Y, is to so pi V W of C minus XY is also equal to just the path, by definition, it's the path from V to W inside the real oriented blow up at both x and y of c. And so, right, so that would, you'd have a point here and a point here, and now you just use, you don't need any fancy definition, you're just doing this. Yeah, maybe I should just point out, what's the blow up? Just to make sure things are clear, what's the blow up at the zero, at zero of the disk? It's just an annulus. Because it's just 0, 1 cross S1. And what's the map down to the disk? Well, if you took R theta here, you just take it down to R e to the I theta. Right? So that's the blow up of the disk, it's just an annulus. Okay, so let's look at a special example. So central, at least to the arithmetic part of the theory, is you look at P1, so this would be complex points on P1. Here on the equator is P1R, and then on P1R you've got 0, 1, and infinity. And then at each point there is, so there's a unique parameter on this that takes the value 0 here, 1 here, and x infinity there, and there'll be 6 canonical tangent vectors, d dx minus d dx, the same things over here, and S3x on this situation, and so you'll get the corresponding 2 tangent vectors here. And so if I have P1 with these 6 tangent vectors, I can blow it up. So I'm going to take blow up at 0, 1, and infinity of P1, and it is just, it replaces each of 0, 1, and infinity by a circle, and at each of them there are just 2 canonical points. Right, because I've got 2 tangent vectors at each. So these are pants or tripods or whatever. And so we don't want to look at the entire path torsor of this. We just want to use these 6 objects in a category and just join them up. Okay, so that's just this language. And now I want to talk a little bit more about Hodge theory. Be a compact Riemann surface. Again, we'll have a refined version of this in a bit, but we'll have 2. C prime is going to be C minus S, where S contained in C is finite. So this will be a punctured Riemann surface. And 3, we have X, Y in C prime and P and Q in S and V in the tangent space of P of C, W in the tangent space at Q of S. These guys here are not equal to 0. Right? And so we can take the path torsor, we can take the path torsor from V to W of C prime. Right, so we've basically taken 2 tangent vectors at infinity, just like we did here, and we can take the unipotent path torsor and we can take its coordinate ring, and this has a canonical mixed pod structure.
Sorry, what were x and y? I didn't get it. X and y?
Yeah, why did I have x and... That's a... Oh, I see. Got it. Okay. Let me... I am not reading my notes. So I want to see what I'm doing. It's just... I'm saying something stupid. So A and B are elements of x, y, v, w. I'm just trying to say that I can choose regular points inside or tangent vectors at infinity as my points, right? So maybe I'll just draw a little, so I was asleep at the wheel here. So I could have taken this tangent vector, that tangent vector, or here's an x and here's a y, and this other stuff is just being chopped out, including these points here. Now I can look at paths from here to here, paths from here to x, right? Or just paths from x to y, right? And always this guy will have a canonical mixed pod structure, and all the algebraic operations here are morphisms of mixed pod structures. The code product is a morphism, etc.
Just looking for better conjugation.
It's getting harder with this. Alright, so again, what I'm trying to do is I want to play a game with these path forces, and I want to know that everything's compatible in Hodge theory, so that when I glue them.
Again, what is your co-product to morph?
Yeah, okay. I was trying to save time. We have pi, A, maybe I should have said A, B, and C in here. Pi A B unipotent O of this will map into O of pi A C unipotent, hence O of pi unipotent C B. This guy will be a morphism, for example. And these are all algebras, their product is a morphism. All the natural operations. Okay, gluing. So, just bear with me. Alright, so what I have here, I want to start, I'll try to draw a reasonable picture. Suppose I have this situation, I'm given this sort of stuff. And I have another guy here, say another thing here. And I have another guy here with and I have a way that I want to pair these guys up. So I'm basically going to do this with pictures. I've got a tangent vector here and a tangent vector here, right? And I want to construct a surface out of this. How am I going to do it? I am going to blow up all of these surfaces at these points. And so I blow up. So note, this is something that exists in algebraic geometry. These are all compact Riemann surfaces, and these are all genuine tangent vectors. So this is all an object in algebraic geometry. I'll blow up, and I'm going to get something like this. I'm going to blow up that one, and I get this. And I blow up this one over here, and I get this. And here I blow up this one, and I get... Right? And if I've paired, here I've paired these two guys, 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 I'm going to glue here, and glue here, and I'm going to actually mark these points here. I want those points to match up. So these boundary things are actually principal S1 bundles. So there's a unique gluing. And you glue it together, so now you glue it. And what you're going to get is a surface like this. And on it, you'll have some distinguished curves. This one, this one, this one, and this one, right? And I'll call these guys here vanishing cycles.
These are the curves where you did the gluing.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is an object in algebraic geometry. This is not an object in algebraic geometry, but it's some manifestation of one. I want to say this corresponds to a nodal curve, and this is some first order smoothing of it. See, I'm trying to do asymptotic Hodge theory without, it's a very technical and complicated subject, and I'm actually going to write this up soon, but I want to turn it into a combinatorial game. And so you start with something like this. This is where we know we have Hodge theory. We can construct this guy, and I claim we can get a Hodge theory here. The fancy name is you're doing limit mixed Hodge structures, which are extremely technical subject, but I want to put it in a box, right? So you buy a box of this stuff at the toy store, and then you put these guys together. And so ultimately, we'll be doing it where every piece is one of those pants, those index pairs of pants, or tripods. Anyway, so the theorem says, and you can put extra decorations on. You can remove some points. You can put some extra points in and so on, whatever. And so the theorem says that the path calls are if A, B, C are in, maybe we'll call this surface here, let's call this C hat. If A, B, C are in C hat minus the vanishing cycles, so these are these distinguished curves that if you collapse down you'll get some nodal curve, then O of pi AB unipotent of C hat has natural mixed Hodge structure. So this theorem is harder than the other one. And it's really saying the existence of limit mixed Hodge structures. Right. So again, it's stated better in the notes. So yeah, let me do an example. Why am I doing this? It's getting hot in here, and you've been listening to me for 3 hours now. So, all right. So let's take the tape curve. This is the what you might call the first order smoothing curve. Sorry, all smoothing of the nodal cubic. And I often denote it EDDQ, which is the sort of basically the fiber of the universal elliptic curve over the DDQ, which is the parameter in the QDIS. Alright, but that sounds fancy, but let me just take P1 minus 0 on an infinity, and I blow it up at 0, 1, and infinity, and I've got 6 points. There they are. And now to get an elliptic curve, this was once the nodal cubic, so it was this guy here, and now we've done this procedure here. We replaced it by a P1 with a tangent vector here and a tangent vector here, and now we're going to glue these guys together, and there's only two ways to glue it together. You do this and a half twist. One corresponds to DDQ, and the other corresponds to minus DDQ. And there's a natural way to do this so that you get DDQ, so you glue this guy up. Okay, and then you get for a year, and now I've got this guy here. So strictly speaking, it's not an object in algebraic. Whoop. That's my vanishing cycle. And now if I take, I only have 2 points left. So the, for example, if I take pi 1 unipotent of this e over d, which I'm going to call e prime over d dq, prime means I remove the identity. So we're identifying 0 with infinity. All this stuff here is c star, right? When I remove it, and this is 1. So this chunk here is p1 minus 0 on the infinity. And by blow, so it's an open subset of this thing, right? And now, these are the two natural tangent vectors of 1. I'm going to take the base point of this with, say, d dx as a base point. And this guy here, maybe I'll take the Lie algebra of this, or I can take the coordinate ring of it, has a natural mixed class structure. So this is what I want. But I want to glue lots more things together. Okay, so... Alright. The next thing, so, is I've got here, this will make you squirm maybe, mixed tape motives, quick and dirty. You don't need to know anything about motives. So how are we going to do mixed tape motives, quick and dirty? So, there's some massive conjecture in algebraic geometry that says the category of motives is Tanakian. There's only one case where that can be done, and that's the case of mixed tape motives. Say, over some ring of integers in a number, S integers in a number field. And that was done by, so there is a Tanakian category of mixed tape motives over a ring of S integers in a number field, and this was basically due to Levine, Voyevodsky. Well, you need Voyevodsky and or Levine. And then Deline Goncharov finished it off, but it's got all the correct x and so on. But you don't have to know how this all goes, right? So I'm going to give you a quick and dirty definition that's completely rigorous if you believe in mixed odd structures. And it also, and you need to believe Brown's injectivity theorem. Okay. So I'm going to let M, T, M, whatever it is equal to the category of mixed tape motives. Unramified over Z. And what we know is it is Tanakian. And it's pi 1. And here, at some point, I said I was going to flip and take a different fiber functor. So you have pi 1 of mixed tape motives. And they also have a Q Durham fiber functor. And the pi ones are all isomorphic. The isomorphisms are unique up to inner isomorphisms, just like in topology. This thing maps to GM, the multiplicative group, and the kernel I will call K. Right? So it looks like this. And the leap, so this guy's pro-unipotent. And before I tell you what it's Lie algebra, this guy has an absolutely canonical. This is why we use Durham. It took me a while to learn this. I had to have Francis sort of smash me over the head. But Q Durham theory is great. It gives you a canonical section. And why is that great? It says every mixed type motive has a canonical splitting. So now, given that, the Lie algebra of K, so K is equal to the Lie algebra of K, this guy is isomorphic to the free Lie algebra. Well, it's the completion of this graded Lie algebra, which generates sigma 3, sigma 5, sigma 7, and I could stop there, but you might think these are just primes, sigma 9, right? They're all the odd numbers. It's graded, and now you take the completion of this. And so the GM, this guy acts here, so it's acting on all of these, this whole Lie algebra. So if T is in GM, T takes sigma 2n plus 1, and I'm going to take it to T to the minus 2n minus 1 times sigma 2n minus 1, right? So the action is by the negative, the 2n plus first representation. I do this because I want this to be negatively weighted.
2n plus 1 goes to 2n minus 1, yes.
2n plus 1, sorry. Yeah, thank you. You have too many minuses, right? And this is what you can call the Tate weight. The Hodge weight is going to be double that. Again, another confusing thing. That's right. So, actually, I want to make an important remark. The sigmas are canonical in H1, but they're not canonical. The sigmas are not canonical. So, for example, you could replace sigma 11, you could replace it by sigma 11 plus any multiple of sigma 3, sigma 3, sigma 5. Right, because this guy's got weight 6 plus 5 is 11, right? Having said that, I haven't written it up, but I do have a construction of canonical sigmas using the elliptic story. And it's completely soft. I mean, but it uses these ideas, so you can rigidify all these sigmas. Okay, so what a... So, if you like, this is going to be, this is the reductive quotient, this is pro-unipotent, this tells you about extensions, this tells you what the semi-simple objects are. So this is pi 1 of MTM, semi-simple. So what are the semi-simple objects of this category? So the semi-simple objects are the simple objects. Well, they just correspond to the representations of GM, so they correspond to the integers, and they're written Q of n, so for n in Z, and so, and this is where T in GM acts by multiplication by T to the minus n. Because this guy is going to have weight minus 2n. And right, this is a Tate weight, so it's half. It has negative weight, right?
So then n should be positive, or?
No, it should be negative. So I think most people, I think in a lot of the literature, this would be a plus. But I want this to be a negative weighted extension. So let me just, maybe to make things totally clear, there is a functor from MTM into mixed Hodge structure. So you can take the Hodge realization, or you can take an L-adic realization. So if you take Qn here, it goes to the Hodge structure Qn, which is of type, I defined it before, it's of type minus n minus n, right? And so that's why it should have weight. Yeah, sorry, here I should have just put weight minus. I tossed out whether. I mean, the subject is a mess with different notions of degree, weight, and so on. And, all right, so. Right, so it's an important thing. There's a theorem of Thelin and Goncharov. Which says that if I took pi vw of p1 minus 0, 1, infinity, where these guys here are canonical tangent vectors, and I take the coordinate ring of this, this guy here is in MTM. Right? So, I mean, although we speak different languages, this thing is somehow central to what you guys are doing, because it's saying that this, first of all, this guy acts on that, and this thing here with the splitting is telling you the GM acts on this. This is the way you grade things for P1, and this guy here, K, is giving you, it's the action of this Frehley algebra on sigma 3. So it's corollary. One is that this guy is graded, O of pi vw, p1 minus 0, 1, and infinity is canonically graded. And they're the gradings that you use every day. And this Frehley algebra L sigma 3, sigma 5, and so on, this guy acts on this guy in a graded way. And so that, okay, I've got 8 minutes. I think I want to be able to finish this. So I'm trying to get to the elliptic story in the last one.
So just to understand, so the fact that it's free, that's the Brown's theorem, or?
Sorry?
So the fact that the Lie algebra generated by sigma 3, sigma 5, and so on is free. So is it the Brown's theorem or not?
Okay. So the fact that this acts is just the Lie algebra.
Yeah.
But
right.
The fact that this injects is Brown. Mm-hmm. So this, the motivic Lie algebra acts faithfully on, say, paths from the tangent vector at 0 to the tangent vector at 1 in P1 minus 0 on infinity. Mm-hmm.
So, but then it is here. It is was already free on MTM. So that you say is general control.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, it was always predicted because if there was a Tanakian category of motives, then they knew exactly how it should be related to the K theory of the integers. And the K theory of the integers is non-zero in very few places. And work of Borel, Manley, and Balanson, and so on, you could completely predict that it would be extension of GM by these guys. The trouble is proving it. So you first of all had to construct the category, which was more or less Levine, and then you had to prove that it had the correct X groups. So, all right, so this is a word I've made up, so if you want to complain about it, it's not yet in print. Ihara curves. I mean, because we've got the Tate curve, these guys generalize the Tate curve. And there is a paper of Nakamura, Ihara Nakamura, where certain basic things about these are proved. They're sort of special cases of what are known as Mumford curves. But I'm going to just define them by these little pictures. So these are curves. They're really first-order smoothings of certain noble curves. These are curves obtained by gluing. So they can have points and tangent vectors by gluing together the following pieces. So you go to the store and you spend $100 and you get a whole box of these guys, and they're all indexed. They've got these little dots, but you can have other versions, like the thing, right? So if you want to mark point on the surface, just think if you remove this, it would have negative Euler character. So this is P1 and I've only blown up 2 points. This is P1 where I've blown it up, and these have, or there's a whole bunch of them. I could also have the same guy, but I remove a point, right? So on, etc. But just things built up out of P1 where there's enough sort of rigid data. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. So this is the main example. Maybe I'll do an example. I could take, if I want to, something like that, right? If I glued this together, this piece has got, it's got two boundary components, so two tangent vectors in the point, but you want basically 3 points in everything, but everything's built up out of P1, zero, with zero on an infinity mark, and you can blow up things or not. Okay, so theorem, so this is something I'm writing up at the moment, is, so let C be any R curve. I should say here, example to take the e.g. The first order, e.g. I'll just write e.g.q, this guy here, with the identity removed. Okay, so let C be an Ihara curve. So if A, B are distinguished points, then on C, hang on, they are in a second, but that would be a distinguished point or any point on a boundary component, but not on a vanishing cycle. Then O pi A B C is an element of MTM. It's a mixed tape motive. So if you, this is just a generalization of this, in fact, bootstrapped up from this. And so a corollary of this is that, corollary, if I take my curve to be this one, so this is, I'll draw it like this, I take this guy here, and I'm gluing together these. So this is I'll call it E prime DDQ. Prime means I've removed the identity. Now I take, say, some tangent vector out here, V. It's going to say that pi 1 unipotent of this is in MTM. And that's what I want for the elliptic story. Right? So so this has got a mixed Hodge structure, but the map of pi, it's got a limit mixed Hodge structure, both because you've got a tangent vector here and because of it's basically very close to being a nodal curve. And so this is the same thing for Lie pi 1. If I was being polite, correct, I'd say in and pro. Yeah. So, I've got 1 minute. Derivation algebras. Yeah, we'll just say, so you've got MHS maps, pi 1 MHS maps onto pi 1 of mixed tape motives, and now this guy maps down into the automorphisms, say, of this is going to be surjective. You know, we in fact know by ground that this is injective. So this guy is represented in here, and if I take Lie algebras, I'm going to be looking at the derivations of this. So derivations. Okay. I have a bit complicated version there, but let me just do the derivations here. So something bizarre is happening. So what do we know about H1 of E D DQ? So this has, it has a mixed Hodge structure, right? So it should be a mixed Hodge structure of weight minus 1. But if we stare at this guy here, it's got to be... So there's a basic fact in this story that you see either in the Allatic picture or you see it in the Hodge picture, that this guy here is equal to Q of 0 plus Q of minus 1. Sorry, Q of plus 1. This guy has weight 0, this guy has weight minus 2. And this seems to violate the fact that this has a weight filtration that should be, you know, it's H1 of some smooth projective curve should be of weight minus 1. Should be. Well, so let me try to explain. So this guy's got to be a mixed tape motive, right? So it can't have weight minus 1 because every mixed tape motive has weight, even weight. So there's something called a limit mixed Hodge structure, and what I've been trying to do here is teach you limit Hodge theory without doing it because it's a technical subject. But let me try to explain, and then I'll stop in 1 minute. Is there a break between these talks?
Sure.
Well, all right. So if you have, suppose you have some variety, I'll call it EQ, which is degenerating to a singular variety. So this is smooth projective, and this is singular. And so here I'm thinking of the real picture would be I have a nodal cubic, and the thing degenerating to it would look like this, right? So, and this, as you change the parameters, might be y squared equals x, x minus q, x minus 1 or something. And this guy might be y squared equals x squared x minus 1. If I'd done more homework, I would have actually written down the tape curve. And now, this is a smooth guy. H1 of EQ is pure of weight minus 1. This guy over here, if you topologically, this guy is this. And it's singular. And you want... It has a mixed Hodge structure, and I claim here because that it's, the way to think of this is separate out this node, and now this is sort of, and put a unit interval in here. Looks like a silly thing to do. I'm really doing simplicial varieties here. Now I'm going to collapse the variety to a point. So this maps here. This is a homotopy equivalence. And now I'm going to map down here where I collapse the curve itself to a point, but this edge comes around here. This is the dual graph. And this map here, this is a map, a homotopy map, induces an isomorphism on H1. And there's no Hodge theory here. All you've got is a point, right? So it has to be of type 0, 0. That's a true and very hokey proof of this, right? I'm trying to convince you it has weight 0. So this guy has weight 0. So what we want to do is think about, well, what happens if where, you know, if you get infinitesimally close to this curve, that's what these things over here are supposed to be. They're supposed to be infinitesimally close to this nodal curve in a particular direction. Well, a basic fact in topology is if you take a regular neighborhood of this singular curve, so you take this regular neighborhood, you've got E0 sits inside here, this is a homotopy equivalence. And E retracts back onto this guy. So if you have any nearby fiber, you have an inclusion of any nearby fiber into here. And this looks very topological, that you can make, it's actually motivic. It's saying the map from H1 of EQ into H1 of E0 has got to be a morphism. If this guy is, has got a limit mixed Hodge structure. So this is a Q of zero, so that tells you this has to have a Q of zero. But you can also argue that because it contains C star as an open subset, it also has to contain a Q of one. Right? And so there is this notion that the Hodge structure on the H1 of the smooth curve degenerates into something that's mixed. And it acquires a new weight filtration I'm going to call M. And that's going to be the weight filtration you get as a mixed state mode. So there's going to be two weight filtrations. There's a M dot, which is the weight filtration as a mixed Hodge structure, and W dot is the old weight filtration. It's just, in this case, just depends on topology. Right? And yeah. So let me just stop here. It's hard for me to explain this. But both of these weight filtrations have good exactness properties. We're going to be able to canonically grade the Cuderam version with respect to both. And so this is going to get, which really surprised me. I didn't believe you could do this in the electric case. So we can split both of these simultaneously and canonically. And so everything's going to be bi-graded, and that's the bi-grading. I checked, and that's exactly the bi-grading in the elliptic KZB equation. And if people want to take a break. Sorry, that, I know I'm blasting ahead here. You said you wanted the elliptic story.
Absolutely.
Okay.